Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, April 2nd already.
Wow.
2019. We've got a great show for you tonight. We got in studio Mason Sargent. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, man. We're going to pick you apart tonight. No, we won't. We'll be nice. Well, Gary might not be. I can't speak for
you. I'm always nice.
But thanks for being here, hosting along with myself tonight, the man on a mission, Gary White.
How you guys doing? Thanks for coming in, Mason.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was gonna put him down as a super stock driver, but we know better, right? But we'll get to that in a second.
I'm confused on everything he's driving and when he's driving.
Exactly, right? And, of course, fly on the wall. They're hidden in the background. Matt Esposito, thanks. Doing our Facebook Live. Well, thank you. Missing racing over there, I'm sure.
Went to the race this weekend. I was depressed.
Hey, you should ask if any of those skid plates have a passenger seat. Maybe you ride along. They don't allow that, do they? In those.
No.
Oh, man.
Totally
really? No. How about the back seat? Put them in the back seat.
Put them in the trunk.
Put it somewhere. Hide. There you go. Yeah. Hide in the trunk.
Tim won't see you.
It's all right. Just pop out once in a while.
Like, if you're trying to encourage racers, you think that they would allow us a day to toss an extra seat in there and drive people a couple laps just to kind of give them the feel of it.
Right. So, you know, some tracks try to do that, some tracks don't, and it all falls back to insurance. Yeah. You know, the cost to let somebody sit in that seat doesn't get the return for the cost of that insurance sometimes. And maybe there's more, you know, because hey, people do get hurt, and but they sign waivers, but that still don't stop them from getting hurt, unfortunately. But anyways, but Matt's not racing because
I vote for a passenger side seat in a skid plate car.
Those things look so much fun just to drive, and I'm used to faster speeds.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Gary had hopped in one, and he's raced dirt, and of course bombers and stuff like that. But you hopped in a skid plate when they first came
one of
out.
The first years, yep. And it's not as easy as it looks.
Right.
Yeah, I remember when we had ours. We had that blue Acura like the first year they let it out there. I wasn't old enough that you had to be 16 to drive one of those. I think it just had turned 13 or 14.
Was that the plan you were going to maybe race in the skid plate possibly?
Well, I don't know. If we got that car just like, hey, you could jump in tonight or someone else can jump in and just go have fun with it because it looked like a ton of fun.
Yeah, and that's what it was for.
Mm. Then I went to go jump in it, and like we went up to Tim, and I was like, it'd be all right if I jump in it, and I'm like 13 then. He was like, oh, you have to be 16. And I was like, whoa.
Really?
I got it while I was like, get one of those.
Well, that sucks because that's not a, that is, well, is it? Is that a NASCAR sanctioned division? No. So only the NASCAR divisions are
14, yeah.
14, I think. So you think the track would kind of maybe allow, you know, a few laps. Who knows? If you got hurt, then maybe that would have been.
Anybody's gotten hurt in that class yet.
Don't say that. You got to stop right there.
Yeah.
We have somebody here that actually did get hurt, but as you can see, he's survived.
Seven fractured ribs.
Yep.
Oh, so. Okay. I must have not watched that race. I didn't see that bad.
Oh, man. Oh, well.
I'm the one that delayed the whole first race of the season.
Yeah, that was during.
That was
did you guys race first race?
This year?
Yeah,
I was here. Okay. Oh, that was then. Okay, I didn't watch the wreck. I just saw that it was a red flag, and I was confused because it was a skid plate race.
Right, that was. There he is. His fault. Everybody's bitching. Here's the guy hurt. And everybody's complaining about time. Man, what's taking so long?
Yeah.
He's over here dying. that sucks. I hate that feeling. I've been there. A lot of us have. So.
But I also know the other side. I've also said staging for 20 minutes.
Right.
Like, God, kill me now.
Exactly. What's taking so long?
That's every night after the Legends and the Superstar race.
Oh, man. Ain't that the truth? You heard from Mason first. Hey, let's get to you there. Let's start with who you are. I mean, how old are you? Let's ask that first.
I just turned 16 last September.
16, wow. You guys remember those days? That was a long time. Think back. Rewind those clocks way back. 16, huh? When's your birthday?
September 12th, 2002.
Oh, coming up. And you'll be 17 this year. Cool.
I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Right.
I was watching a NASCAR race, and they're showing these drivers. 22 joined NASCAR 3 years ago.
Right. 22, you got 2 more years to retire.
Right. Well, then it means they jumped into the car at 18, 19.
Right.
Well, they had to get experience somewhere, and that's
someone
like Mason comes in. So
well, exactly. I mean, here's – and this, you know, and you can kind of walk us through it, but – 16 years old, but you're racing modifieds now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you didn't start in modified. You actually have progressed into a third different division now.
Yeah.
You started off in Bandoleros, am I correct?
Yeah.
Tell us about that. First of all, before you get to that, tell us your first experience with racetrack and racing and all that. I mean, we all kind of know your dad from the track, but tell us your experience.
My earliest memory of the racetrack was I had to have been like 3, 4, maybe even 5. And I was watching the Super Stock race. That's back when my dad had his yellow Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember.
The number 30 back then,
Mm-hmm. I just remember it was just rows and rows of Super Stocks. And that's, you know, they'd start 30 Camaros a night.
I love that division, by the way. That's one of my favorites.
You know, so he had like some problem early on in the day, and he was starting like 15th or somewhere way back in the pack. And he just fought his way through back then I think it was 30 laps they would actually get in the race.
Right.
And he went up and he was fighting for the lead towards the end. I can't remember if he won the race or not, but it was just seeing that and just feeling like hearing the sounds of the engine, feeling the presence of all the cars there. It was just, this is what I want.
So one hand you're cheering, the other hand you're throwing your binky. I just kidding. That's messed up. Yeah, that's cool though. You know, your earliest memories of racing as your dad, you know, moving up in the field in the car and all that. You remember like the smells and the tires and fuel and all
I don't think you could ever get racing fuel and burnt rubber out of your system just once you start.
So keep that in mind, parents. You are really affecting your kid's health. That's cool. It kind of. There you go. Right. Smells like leaded racing fuel and burnt tires. A little bit of brake dust. So, you know, so that gets embedded in you, early ages. What did that do to you back then? I mean, did you know what was going on around you, or is that something that...
You know, back, you know, they would always, you know, my dad and my uncle, they'd always be in the backyard just working. Just after, you know, they'd come home long days of work, they'd get home, you know, 3, 4, 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Then on nights where they didn't have so good of a race or something got bent, they'd be out there for hours a night just to get ready for the next race.
Was it just you guys, or did you have other family members come out?
It's just us. You know, sometimes we'll have family coming out of town, but they'll usually just watch. But when it comes to, like, maintaining and working on the cars, it's just us three.
Just you three. Who's the brains of that bunch?
Okay, well, I have my dad and my uncle with me. So.
Okay, but, in your opinion, who's the brains of that bunch?
Okay, and
you go see your dad first, but you seek your uncle.
You can see your uncle.
I'm just joking.
So, my uncle, he's been around. You know, he used to travel with Wayne Jacks a lot, and that's where he, like, you know, he really got to travel with it, and he's been doing that for umpteen years before my dad got into it. And then I think they said, like, this would have been, like, about 20 years ago my dad really got into racing. That's, you know, since then they've owned, like, 30, 40 Camaros and everything else that they've cut up. So they're both really great mechanics, and they know what they're doing.
Right.
When it comes to setting up cars and, like, how we can, you know, bouncing ideas off each other. And me and my uncle, like, I get home from school. He just got home from work. We'll sit there for hours just bouncing ideas off each other, what we can do with cars.
So, but you didn't answer the question.
Oh. I thought I did.
When it comes...
Okay. Yeah. Very smart, by the way, being political about it. So.
All right. When it comes to just racing, there are some places where my uncle, he's a little bit smarter in some areas, and my dad's smarter in other areas. So they both offer, most of the time, it's completely opposite opinions about something. But we,
both seem to work a lot of times. But yeah. It just depends on how you mix them, right?
We always have to compromise for what we need to do. But like in the end, we still have cars out there, and at least for the modified and the super stock, we've been up towards the front, so it's got to be working somewhere.
Right. Well, I guess going back to where you're talking about bouncing ideas and stuff like that. Before that, though, when did you start getting out there in the? And remember, he's 16. When do you remember getting out into the garage, let's say, or the shop, and start actually helping handing wrenches or turning wrenches or
Bandolero? Back when I was 8, 9, 10, I didn't really do it a whole lot. But once I just turned 13, and I just couldn't fit in a Bandolero anymore. I got too tall. I think I remember my last race, we had to duct tape the roof down just because my helmet was poking through the roof.
His head was bouncing, knocking the seat, the roof opening. Mm-hmm. So, I guess with the Bandolero, is that something that you wanted to do when you saw him out there? Or is that something your dad and uncle were hey, this might be something cool for...
When I learned that I was the youngest I can get into a race car, I didn't really care what it was. All I knew was that was the first time I get into a race car. As soon as I can, I want to be in there. And I remember I got the phone call. I was just coming back from Barstow visiting from my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad called my mom, and they wouldn't put it on speaker, which she normally does. So I kind of figured there was something up. And my mom was looking at me and was like, well, your dad's got a surprise for you when you get home. And right then and there, I was just like, oh, I hope it's a race car. I don't hope it's a Bandolero. And we got home, and that was the first Bandolero I ever had, and it was sitting there. They were talking, we got there. I was like, "Wow, where did you get it?" And they were like, "We just drove through a snowstorm in Arizona to get it."
So they went through some trouble to get you this, huh? That's cool.
I mean, it was a great race car. That was, the car that I won my first races in, and what really got me, hooked on racing.
So once you saw that, obviously you were excited and all that. How long till you actually got to race that?
That was when I was 7, and I think we got it that fall. I think that last season was still going on, but then that next season.
Did you get any practices on practice nights?
We went once, and it was now at 9X. We have a little not even a quarter mile track that they'd go and they do classes on.
Where is that at?
I can't remember exactly where. It's here in town, but it was just too long ago for me to remember.
Well, get used to that, because your memory gets grayer and grayer as you get older. Yeah, as old as Gary.
Yeah, the older you get, the less you remember, trust me.
And sometimes it's selective. You'll know what
a lot of times it's selective.
But do you remember your feelings when you first was able to get in that thing and actually suit up? And
well, once I first got suited up, even my dad and everything was trying to say this to embarrass me, but the first time I was I was scared out of my pants. I remember bawling for hours. I wanted to, but I was too scared to go out and wreck something.
Because
we just bought this car. I knew it wasn't cheap. I don't want to go out there on some track in the middle of nowhere and go out and mess something up. But once I got in there and started going around, it was just instantly hooked on it.
Right.
It was just a feeling that,
I mean, you've probably done go-karts and things like that before that, I would assume, maybe. Not nothing except for, pole position type places.
No, I did. That was what my racing was before.
You did?
I never did, the actual go-karts that they did.
But you should just go to these local places,
That's when I could, and, that was when I was too short to ride on my own. So my first racing experience was my dad next to me laughing his butt off while we were going around the course. He was just laughing. At me. We're going so slow, but, I'm sitting there, thinking I'm going 500 miles an hour.
Exactly. It's a whole different feeling when you're actually doing it than what you're looking at, right? Mm-hmm. That's cool. So you see your dad laughing over there, and...
I'm thinking I'm going faster than he's ever gone. I'm just sitting here in a little electric go kart going around mini Grand Prix.
Right. Oh yeah, the mini Grand Prix. Those are fun. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
I'm going faster than you've ever went, yep. Dad.
You come back, he's like, well, you know, son, we got some work to do.
He may hit 15 miles an hour.
But, you know, hey, that's part of the fun is progressing is those feelings and those experiences that you get at that age at the Grand Prix and, you know, pole position, places like that. So I think that's pretty cool. So what was your first experience at the actual bouldering track?
I remember that I was obviously in the Bandolero, and I went for my first practice session, and it was the first time we went out there. I remember I ran into a kid called Matt Emery, if I remember right. And just the very first time, he went to pass me on the outside, and I just like pretty much just ran right in and turned right.
It's an automatic reaction.
It was just like
those are passed down from your dad, by the way. It's hereditary.
That's what
I'm just kidding. Well, that's funny though. It's just reaction, probably, right?
It was like I saw like I just like completely destroyed two cars. So I went in and I was like, and the kid ran like came over to me. I was like, it's just like another tire mark because it doesn't really matter. It didn't affect much.
There was no like a parent fighting in the pitch or anything. Well, that's cool. At least it wasn't a bad experience. I guess could have been worse.
Oh, definitely. It was like first time I ever went on the track and immediately ran into another kid, and it was just like, this is fun, but I don't like that.
Right.
I don't like running into people.
Maybe we won't do this anymore. Huh? Where did you end up finishing? Do you remember?
During the race, I think I finished either dead last or second to last. But
hey, that's okay. So, right?
I went, there was another kid. It was his first night, and it was him and I, like, you just kept trading spots for last. But it was like, I'd speed up and pass him, and then, like, I just slowed down and let him pass me again. And just,
that's funny.
Just, I was like, all right, I'm past him. Just, he won't come back and get me. And the next thing I know, we just
passed me again. Hey, wait a minute. Well, that's cool. At least you had fun in the back, you know, and sometimes that's what it's about. It's not about, you know, when, if you're not going to be there, hey, you're not going to be there, but you can still have fun, especially at, you know, at that early age in the Bandoleros.
Even when I went and hopped in the super stock in the mod, you know, you have to be in the back for a while and, you know, learn how everyone you're racing with drives, and then learn how yourself, how you need to drive, and then make your way up to the front as you get more experience.
Was there any times like early on in the Bandoleros that you got done with the race, you pulled in, you pulled your helmet off, threw it, and said, "Dad, this car is junk."
Oh, I do that now with the Superstock.
We're talking about Bandolero. We'll get to that coming up to the Superstock.
Every car you get in, if you have just your car's handling horrible, you walk in, just like, I did everything I could, and I still finished way in the back. It was just, that's just more to build off of, you know.
Right.
Just,
was there any other team, well, not really team, but even competitors out there, guys in Bandoleros that would give you tips and things like that that really stuck with you?
I was back when O'Hanley had his whole thing going.
Oh, yeah, all of his stuff.
And, you know, there were some older kids there, and Caden Carlin, if I remember his name, he used to help me a lot. We were kind of buddies, and, like, I think he was in the Outlaw division way before I was.
Right.
I was also when Kaylee Barker was in that too.
Oh yeah.
I was, you know, back, you know, now she's in Super Late. That's
right.
But she used to help me a little bit too, just other drivers, and then my dad and my uncle, they with their very constructive criticism were like, "Why are you lifting? This is a Bandolero."
So is that one of the, I guess, the key tips to don't lift, just keep your foot on.
We're
going to tape the gas pedal down.
I think I got threatened with that a couple of times. We're going to make it to where you can't let off.
You can't let off. That's funny. I mean, that, I guess obviously you learned that. You progressed and learned more every race. Everybody learns race to race, I'm sure. So
right. You know, back when you're eight, you know, you're just like, you're almost like afraid to like hold it down the entire time. You see a turn coming, you want to let off just off of instinct,
right?
But then once you start getting braver and braver, you know, you can only, like, even though when I'm looking at Bando kids now,
right,
you can tell like through their practice session that they're getting braver and braver,
right?
You know, they're not lifting in the corners, you know.
See, it's funny because you're a veteran, even though you're 16. So that's pretty cool. Did you notice, like, you know, obviously, your dad and your uncle, as they learned how to start working on and adjusting the Bandoleros, the car probably got faster. Also, could you tell the difference as you were progressing with experience.
Yeah, through the years, you know, you can feel like as you yourself get better as a driver. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, back in Madden Lewis, I didn't really work on the car a whole lot, so I didn't know exactly what they were doing. But I could tell from race to race if the car was faster or slower, just when I got to that point where I was pushing the car to the most it had.
Right, right. You remember your first win or?
The first win I didn't get until like my third or fourth season. I was almost in Outlaws, but it was.
Yeah. It takes time. And, you know, it's funny how that happens. So once you get that momentum is there. It sticks.
Mm-hmm. I remember my first race. It wasn't even on a Saturday night. It was on a Friday night. Just completely surprised us all. That was back when they were still running like national points. I think they still run the national points on Fridays. But that was just like, we had just come back from the winter. It was the very first Friday test night. We were just like, we just go out and, you know, shake the car down, just make sure nothing's wrong like you normally do. And we go out and we end up winning the race. And we were like, well, got to do it tomorrow and make it count. So
did you whisper to your dad, hey, we're legal, right? was there anybody out there that you thought, man, I just can't beat these people? Did you ever think anybody out there was, I'm trying to put it right, outside it, you know, playing outside the rules.
Outside the rules. Well,
I mean, you don't have to give anybody names, but were there any teams out there that was just, man, they're just so hard to beat. Maybe they're doing something they shouldn't be doing.
Well, back then you still have that innocent mind where, like, you know, no one's cheating.
Right.
You know, all these cars are exactly the same.
I'm 8 years old. I ain't cheating.
And respect. And then that's just it. The kids aren't. It's the damn parents.
I just go out and drive the car.
See, that's smart. That's the way. Hey, yes, we're 100% legal.
I just drive.
I just drive. I'm just a driver. No, I'm just playing too. I mean, you know, everybody out there is legal. So, but you know, it's just funny.
It's the boring. You have to be legal.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just funny though how we were talking about this, you know, not that long ago about if you're up front and you win, multiple times and so on, everybody automatically accuses you of being a cheater. You know, you got to be cheating. There's no way you could win. You know. By that far or stuff like that. So you ever been accused of that yourself?
Accused of cheating. Well, Bandolero, that was, I don't really think we got accused a whole lot. And then Super Stock Modified, you know, I'm still new to that stuff. So I haven't gotten those huge leads to where they think I'm the one cheating in anything, or I'm the only one cheating.
Right, right. Well, hopefully nobody thinks that. You know, I mean, not everybody is out there cheating. So there's ways to win without. And these are just, you know, we're not pointing fingers or accusing anybody or anything like that. Just it's all fun. But what was it like when you went from the regular Bandoleros into an outlaw Bandolero? I mean, did you? And what are the differences, I guess? I don't know the difference between a Bandolero and outlaw Bandolero. Do you?
No, I don't.
Oh, my first year in Outlaws, that's when they first started making it toward the Bandoleros and Outlaw were really separate classes, and they would take the restrictor plates off for the Outlaws.
So that's the difference, is restrictor plate for the Young Guns or whatever
the
I don't know what they call it, the Bandits, okay. Mm-hmm. And then no restrictor plate for the Outlaws, okay. Yeah. Same motor and everything.
It was just they take the restrictor plate off, which I had already... In the Bandoleros, I already tasted what it was like without the restrictor plate because I would always run the road course in the winter. And I went out to Havasu a couple times, and I believe they took the restrictor plates off too. And that already gave me, you know, I already kind of had that judgment of how fast it would be. But then just the difference on the actual 3/8 mile is Bandolero Bandits, you know, you're kind of accelerating the entire time. You never hit the rev limiter.
Right.
And the Outlaws, you're going faster, but as soon as you hit and you come out of the corner, you're already on the rev limiter. So it kind of makes it to where... It made it a little bit more to where if you're up front, you're pretty much going to stay there. You can't really go through the back like you could before if your car is a little bit better.
Do you have to lift at that point because you have more speed?
Never lift.
No.
You don't lift in the Bandolero.
Yes.
You're still not going that fast.
Well, okay. That's good for the boring. I mean, I'm glad you brought up Havasu. You've actually traveled and raced at a whole different track. You know, not many people get that experience. What did you think of Havasu?
I've only been there twice. The first time I went, it was fine. You know, it was really nice, and it was just, you know, that gave me another perspective of different racetracks, and it kind of gave you the perspective of how bigger cars would be. Because over there, you run a regular line. You go up to the wall, you have to lift, and go in the corner. The second time I went there, it wasn't so nice. We were coming off the start, and I mean, this was very first started. I just gave a gas coming off the corner trying to go, and the car got a little loose, so I went to save it. The back of the wall, or the back of the car, hit the wall, and then it slapped around and hit it again.
Oh, almost what he did. Yeah, pancaked it. Yeah.
Right, 9-year-old me was like, oh, my chest kind of hurts, kind of have a headache.
Right.
And, you know, when you tell, like, fire and safety and everything like that, like, well, we have to take it to the hospital.
You're going to the hospital.
And
well,
that's what I did.
It's probably a good idea anyways, you
mm-hmm.
know,
there wasn't
regardless.
Really, yeah, there wasn't really anything wrong with me, but it was just, you know, I have pain here and a pain
right.
here. And, you know, at that point, they have to take you.
Right.
And they know it's, like, you know, nothing serious.
Yeah. Well, and, yeah, either way, it's a good idea regardless. I know as racers, we just brush it off and hey, the car's okay. We're ready to get back in it. So.
Let's go.
What'd you think of Havasu when you first? I mean, because again, a lot of people don't get to experience that, and I like that track, but it's obviously for different types of cars and things like that. In a Bandolero, what'd you think of it? Shorter track? Did you have to lift? Did you flat foot it on that track also?
The Bandolero there is kind of like how the modifieds drive here now, I think of it, because you don't really use a whole lot of brake. You let off just because it's tighter and you know, that kind of stuff, but you don't really hit the brakes a whole lot still. But when I first went there, it was like my second year driving, and we didn't have any kind of setup for that, and the car was so loose. The first, you know, maybe like first three quarters of the race, you know, I was making my way through the pack and I was making good lap times, but then I just kept spinning and spinning.
Oh.
And I think at one point I went and I spun and I was in the dirt doing donuts for a little bit.
Might as well have some fun, you know.
I was like, well, I already went to the back like a lap down. So at this point, you know, I'm already kind of angry. I'm trying to drive harder and just keep looping it.
Well, you know, it's funny that when that happens, sometimes when you spin, you actually, you know, mentally create your own problem. You try to drive too hard to catch up or keep up, and you end up getting worse and worse, and you know, you drive yourself out of the race. But it sounded like you knew you were doing that.
That's a big thing that I learned, is that I've learned to try and keep a level head, and like, you know, I still made it to where, well, now I'm way back here and I should be up there, so it's still giving me more like extra motivation, but I've learned to keep more of a level head now and not go out and drive over my head in the corners and just start making even more mistakes just to get back up to where I was.
Right. No, that's pretty cool. That's cool. You didn't run an outlaw class down there, though, but they removed the restrictor plates for
I believe they did.
Okay.
Just because it was so short, you still didn't have enough time at the rev limiter.
Couldn't get on it, right. No, that's pretty cool. How many Vegas people that came down there, was it just you, or did you guys come in as a group? Or
I think it was us. I can't remember the first time, but back then, one of the times we went, we had the Jax brothers with us, and we all went down there, and then there were a couple other Vegas people that just, you know, they just periodically traveled down there.
Right.
I think it was like they have a race early on in January that we went.
Oh, yeah.
That's when we went to. But
that's
pretty
cool.
Even for Bandoleros, we had a lot of cars down there.
Right.
You know, it was a lot of fun to see that many Bandos there, and it being a shorter track.
Yeah, I like how they do things down there. I mean, you guys, you'll pull your cars on the front stretch and they have at least 45 minutes to let the fans come down and the spectators come down and meet and greet and everything. I mean, you like doing those kind of things?
I love it when, you know, you have fans go down there and talk to you, you know. And, you know, when I'm younger, they kind of come and like, well, you're that young and you're driving these cars. Like, I've been doing this for 8 years.
Right.
And then they kind of,
that crazy?
Their eyes are just like, really, 8 years and you're only 16, you know. And it's always fun talking to people like that, you know. Out here we have the autograph session, you know, every couple weeks.
Right. It's not always, maybe 2-3 times a year or something like that.
I always love when I come down. And I feel like that really brings fans in too. And they can go down and, you know, they're more part of the show.
Absolutely.
And I think the fans love it too.
Speaking of the fans, you know, do you drive any different? And can you tell, like, when there's a huge crowd or nights where there's only, you know, kind of a slim group of spectators, you feel like you drive any different, or you just blank out the spectator side completely?
I feel like once you get into, like, a race car, you really get tunnel vision.
Right.
And you're just focusing on the race. Just, you know, if you go out in there and you win, and like, you get in the victory circle, there's been nights where I got in the victory circle and I just look up like, wow, there are that many people here?
Right.
I didn't think that there were that many people
here.
Right.
You didn't even know. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. No, that's pretty cool. I wish we could, when we were 16, we could talk about how the car was handling and this and that. When I was 16, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about my bicycle or something.
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool. When are you retiring next year? Out of racing?
I don't know. All depends. Next year I'll be 17. I'll be graduating. And then
that's
right after that, my plan has always been to enlist in the military. So pretty much the date I'm shipped off will be when I retire for a little while.
So that's cool. Congratulations. That's a very respectful path that you're thinking about taking. So, you know, congratulations.
Thank you.
Kudos to you for choosing that. So, you know, that not many young people today, you know, think about that kind of stuff. So, so that's good. I hope you get in the field that you want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that some more. But so get all your racing in now before that, right? We want to see a lot more Mason Sargent here in the next, year here at least. Mm-hmm. So
I know I'm trying. These 3-week breaks in between races are killing me because we already had 3 months and now we got to wait another 3 weeks between races.
A true racer talking right there. It kills him every time there's no racing at all in between.
Nowhere.
That's why we're lucky to have Havasu, you know, run a winter series to be able to go down during what we consider kind of off months, I guess, here locally. But so out of Bandoleros, obviously Havasu experience, back to Vegas. When was the first time you found out you're going to jump into a full size, you know, like super stock, I guess that's what you got into. Were you ever thinking about bombers or any other divisions at the time?
Back when back when I was like starting to have to like get out of Bandoleros, I was getting to that age. We had actually the car that Kyle Jacks is driving now. We used to have that car. That was our car originally.
Wow.
And that was, if you remember, that was when it was red and silver, number 30. And you know, the first time I was like, oh, I'm actually gonna be able to drive a bigger car.
Right.
They just unloaded the car. It was just another race day, and they were like, drive this thing down the road and like make sure everything's all right. Just go down there and all the way down and turn around.
That's cool.
I'm sitting there. I can't even see over.
Can't
the
see over the
steering wheel. I'm like,
that's cool.
I'm sitting back straight up, just toes are barely touching the gas pedal to try and go. I have to ask them how many clicks back I have to put the shift to try and put it in drive.
Right.
That was the first time just trying to drive around that. I was like, this is an entirely different world. I can't wait to get to it.
That's cool.
And then they sold that bomber, and then it was like, well, what are we going to drive now? And then they were building that super stock I have now. They built that car from the frame up.
No kidding. That's a nice car, too, by the way.
Just 4 years, it was just a frame they had lying around, and they're just like, let's put a super stock together.
Your dad had no Camaros at the time? He had got
no, we didn't have any Camaros.
We
had a couple Camaros in between then.
Right.
But just while they were building that car, it was just something they always wanted to build a coilover car.
Right.
Just they wanted to do something different because you know all the cars out there were Camaros, they were all leaf spring.
Right.
They're like, let's go out there and be different. Let's go see how this does. You know, a couple guys had them at the time and they were pretty good, and they're just like, let's build one.
Right.
They had frame laying about back there, and they took their time with it. You know,
mm-hmm.
They made sure everything was right, and they put it out on the track when they felt it was ready. And I mean, first year without it, won a championship with my dad in it.
So were you the only one to race that? Your dad never raced that car.
Oh, my dad raced it first year. That year I was on off season for Bandolero. That was, you know, my big, that's when I really started getting into the garage and like learning how everything went with that car.
Do you help, you know, assist on building that car and setting it up and all that kind of stuff?
I've spent so many hours just trying to like think about that car, just how can we get it to handle next week.
Cool.
Just that car was always like really loose and like just trying to get the handling down.
Right.
You know, we didn't have any, you know, previous owner to talk to or anything like that.
Exactly.
You know, nobody out there had metric cars, so we couldn't ask them, you know, what they were doing. This was all completely new. We had to figure it out on our own.
And your dad's experience, obviously, were with the leaf spring Camaros and stuff, so some of that translates, but a lot of it don't. So.
There's that car and Camaros are completely different worlds. Yeah. Just, you know, with the boring, you know, day-night cycles are a huge factor in handling. And it's completely opposite from a leaf spring, just how they work. So we had to get used to that learning curve. And, it seemed to be working pretty good. Won championship his first year. I got rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Court got rookie of the year after he'd been driving bombers or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, youngest kid in the class, I finished second and won a couple races with it. So, so it's been a pretty good and reliable car so far. So.
Well, do you remember your first time you took that car on the track? Was it during a practice?
The first time I took that car on a track, I believe it was a Friday before the 2017-2018 open comp.
Okay.
And I just took it out. It still had all my dad's numbers and everything on it. I was just going out to drive, and you know, this is the first time I even drove a manual race car.
No kidding.
That's
funny.
I was 13. My dad had just bought a 2001 Firebird, and we were going around our neighborhood and teaching me how to drive.
He can't drive a stick. That's cool.
So I just driven it out, and the first time I went out there, just this thing handles like a boat. Just every time you turn, you can feel the body rolling.
Right.
Like a little bandolero. There's no weight there.
No, yeah, no roll at
this
all.
This is a 3,100-pound car, and you're just right. sitting there. You feel like you're just floating every time you turn. But it was just, it was a big learning experience.
That's cool.
This, the that race, it went pretty well. Just first time out there, and I was, you know, I was trading spots with people. I didn't finish anywhere up in the front, but it was still just, it
yeah,
was just fun race.
Yeah, well, that's seat time. You know, you got to have that seat time to figure things out. You know, so that's cool. Were did you get any disrespect from any other racers or respect from any other super stock drivers out there? Anybody kind of get too close to you, maybe to just give you a little scare?
I try, even now, like to stay off of people, you
right.
know, and I race other people respectfully. And back then, you know, they saw that, and I'm just trying to go out there and, you know, learn how to race. And I would
right.
feel like a lot of people learned to respect me as I was trying to respect them on and off the track.
Right. You know, I think, and people, you know, obviously in a bandolero, the kids, you're racing against other kids pretty close to your same age. When you jump into a division like the Super Stocks or even a Bomber class or something, you could be racing against somebody your own age, somebody that's five times your age. Maybe not quite, but they see like they're five times your age.
Yeah, I had first off in the Super Stock, I was the only person even in their teenagers,
right.
you know. They were all, you know, they've all been racing for a while. They were all, in, you know, adults. And I'm a 14-year-old. I'm out there
right.
and I'm competing with them, but I'm not out there beating cars up. And,
right.
like, I'm racing them as if I have that kind of experience as I'm still trying to learn myself. So.
Did you feel like you wanted to earn that respect when you were out there? Or is it something you just – I mean, some kids go out there and they're real aggressive because they have no fear. Not to say you don't, but you seem to be a very consistent – racer, which is good to see out there. It's refreshing in a person your age to see that, you know, and see you progress without getting out there and getting, you know, dumb, stupid,
yeah.
you know, you're
yeah.
out there, you're not tearing other people's crap up.
No,
you know?
That was the biggest thing. It was just,
at least not on purpose.
That was the biggest thing. It was like, I already know how much work these cars are. I don't want to spend any,
right.
I don't want to have to spend any more work than I have to. I don't want other people to have to spend more work
right.
than I have to. We're out here to have fun and race,
yeah.
not to come out here and spend thousands of dollars in repair just to come back in a couple of weeks, you know?
Oh, no doubt. Mm. So that's cool. So you probably gained some respect from quite a few racers out there. Who do you think going in through the Super Stocks were some of your biggest competitors?
Well,
my biggest
competitor my first year was my teammate, Court Connell. That
okay.
was when he had just gotten Vinny Rucci's old car.
Mm-hmm.
And his car was fast right out the box, and I was still learning. And we were both big competitors, and that was also Larson was there too. We were all
okay.
in that class. We were kind of the big three. I was still, you know, I was still lagging back a little bit, but there were races where I was up there.
Right.
And then I remember my first win. I had fought my way to the front. I started in the front off of an invert. I went back a little bit, fought my way back up, got in an accident, went all the way to the back, fought my way to the front again. And on the last lap, I took the win.
That's
or the last
cool.
corner, I took the win from Court. He wasn't too happy with the way I did it, but that was, I didn't go out there and, you know, I didn't go out there and completely dump
sure.
him or just, it was just.
It was a racing incident, right?
It
may happen.
It was a racing incident, but, you know, I was 14, it was the last corner, and,
right.
you know, I was in the spot, so it was, you know, I was going to do
right.
whatever I could to go there, but I wasn't going to just go into the corner and not lift
right.
and do something stupid like that.
Yeah. Well, you know what, if it was a problem, the track would have stopped it and you would have not gotten the win. So obviously you did. So the track saw the same thing you did. So they didn't make a call as to put you to the back or change anything. So that's cool. What was your feelings with that first win? I mean, do you still remember that?
Oh, I still remember it very vividly.
Were you like punching the ceiling doing anything weird in the car?
It was just like a ton of yelling, you know,
right.
like you're coming to the
and your dad were probably over there and your uncle's over there yelling too, probably.
Oh, you know, we have spotters and I think they
right.
were yelling louder than I was.
Right.
And they, of course, my uncle had, you know, he had the radio clicked on.
Sure.
So, it was just, everyone was real happy and it
right.
was, you know, we fought hard for that race,
right.
and that was the race I feel like I've fought, you know, the hardest even now, because I went
right.
and I was, like, in the back twice and, you know, fought my way back up. And
that's
it was
cool.
It was just a night where it was a night to win, you know, because
right.
we'd already
right.
fought hard, and it wasn't a race to come hard in or fight
yeah.
hard in and get second, you know?
Yeah.
So it made it to where all the hard work really, you know, felt nice, and it was, this is, you know, I can get used to this feeling, you know?
Oh, you know, that's that momentum, and it came down to the very last lap, so that's cool that, you know, it turned out that way, and that momentum you got from that night, I'm sure, you know, you tasted the win, and you knew, you know, you wanted more of that, I'm sure, you know,
and
of course.
We won a couple of times more that season, you know. It's not, you know, I've never been that dominant driver, you know.
Right.
Like, I don't feel like it's a bad thing where I go out and I'm winning every race,
no,
you know.
Of course not.
But it makes it to where the wins feel nice, you know.
Right.
Like, you get them, you know, even if you get them, like, every other race, something like that.
Right.
You're not going out there, you know, making it to where it's almost boring to win, you know.
Exactly.
It's still hard-fought wins, which I love them. I love it.
Do you feel like with those wins, there's still things that could be done to the car, or do you think the car's where it needs to be? And, you know, obviously there's always temperature changes, you know, tires wear differently, all that kind of stuff that come into play. But do you think the car itself is suspension wise, setup wise, is where it should be right now for your driving style? I mean, obviously you don't race it right now, but at the time, you know, you're getting your wins.
Well, back, you know, I always, you know, they always say, you know, loose is fast.
Yep.
You know, when you're driving, you're sitting there, you're on asphalt.
Remember that.
Yeah, I remember it.
This is a champion here. Well,
I'm
listening. It's like, you know, you're acting like, you seem like you're driving on a dirt track, but you're on asphalt. But those are the nights where you seem the fastest, where you think your car is just complete junk, but then you look at the lap times, and you're the fastest times you ever pulled.
Right.
And I've gotten used, even through the Bandolero days, of driving a loose race car, and, you know, going out there in a loose race car, I'm not scared of it. Now I'm more scared of a tight race car than a loose race car.
Right, exactly, because you can't control tight.
When you go into the tight, when you, like, you know, have the car cranked and it's still not turned, you can't do much with that. But if you have it where you have to turn, you know, you have to saw on the wheel coming out, you know, that's something I could work with.
Right, exactly.
You know? But it made it to where, you know, like you said, after every race, like, after the races, like, you never feel like your car is 100%. You know, once you get to 100% in some race, you go out and you push it harder, and it's like, okay, now the car's reacting like this.
Right.
There's always something to improve on with the car, which is something that my uncle and my dad have taught me, is, like, you may have thought your car was really good.
But we can make it better.
Yes, you didn't beat track. You know, you're not pulling off track records every lap, so there's still more to work on.
No, you know, always more to improve on, and that's not a bad thing. Otherwise, you know, we'd settle. When did you first find out from running the Super Stux that you may get a chance to even run a modified?
I believe it was the 2016
So you knew early on, while you were racing in the Super Stux, that there was a modified waiting for you?
Well, we had a Dana Stahl car. It had been sitting in our backyard, you know, for as long as I'd been alive, you know.
Wow, that's cool.
So it was an old car, but they were always like, you know, we've always wanted to run modifieds, but, you know, we never really had the time to just sit in it, you know, sit in it and get all that ready, because we had all of our other cars going. And then the 2016 open comp, my dad and uncle had just bought Ryan Vargas' old Super Stock. And they got it, like, the Monday beforehand, and they went and they, you know, did the race or whatever. And then we went up to Chris Bray, and we were like, we'll trade you this as a roller, and we'll get just a bare chassis on the ground for one of his modifieds. Then we went, you know, we purchased it as a roller, you know, you know, we paid him a little more money for that. And then last year, when they changed the rules for the motor
rules,
it was, you know, we can compete with these guys now. We don't need these big 600-700 horsepower motors and 700 tires, which you need to buy two sets every race.
Right.
Now we're running on 970s, which you're already with the Super Stock.
Right.
And it's a $4,500 motor instead of a $26,000 motor. So it made it a lot more affordable, and, you know, we immediately jumped on it.
Cool.
And it was, you know, we finally got the race, and I'm glad we did, because now it just, the difference between the Super Stock and modified is night and day.
Did you have to fight your dad for the seat? Like, your dad wanted to race?
I could tell my dad he still wants to race modified. Actually, he just bought a modified recently.
Oh,
but back then, it was just like, you're going to drive it. Your name's on the car. Just, you know, this is meant for you.
Do you guys still have a Super Stock sitting? Your other Super Stock?
Oh, yeah. Our yellow Super Stock is always
there.
Did you
ever think about jumping in that thing once in a while? Or your dad, maybe?
We have it set up to where right now, you know, we might bring it out in a couple of nights.
Okay.
Just like the big nights, like July 4th, we'll bring it out on open comp, just that kind of stuff. Just when we have the time to. But right now, we're just trying to focus on
the modifieds are the focus, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sad to say that, you know, the Super Stock class is kind of dying out right now.
Right.
And, like, that car, you know, that is such a fun class. Just this past weekend, I was able to just watch the race. That was the first Super Stock race I've watched in I don't know how long.
No kidding. And that's pretty cool, though.
And it was just, I'm sitting there just like, just watching these cars is so much fun. You know?
Where you're out there like, man, I can beat Sam Jacks. I know I can beat him.
I was going out there, it was like, he's making this look easy. I was just going to hop in that old yellow car and
right,
come out and just
hopefully give him a bump.
Just
two,
go out there and push on his bumper a little bit. Show him that there's still somebody who's got something for him.
That would be cool. That'd be cool. I hope you do that at some point to let him think a little bit, you know?
Mm.
But. So that's cool. You're gonna run the modifieds. You haven't raced for your dad yet at all, have you? Is that the plan is for him to come out and?
I've raced against him twice.
Oh, have
you?
Okay.
That was when I first.
How did he fit in the Bandolero? No, I'm just kidding.
Actually,
Super Stock.
He had that. Yeah. He had that orange Camaro, which right now it's Camden Larson's car.
Oh, okay.
But no, he raced it for two races. You know.
What was that like racing with your dad? I mean, did you? Want to give him a bump or spin him out or anything? Like, hey, Dad, this is for grounding me 2 weeks ago.
Put me in my room.
I mean, it was really cool to see him on the track with me, you know, but it was, you know, that car we had just gotten, we were still working bugs out and stuff with it. We had this car, you know, we already won a championship with it. So I was out charging towards the front, and he was in there still trying to figure out the car. So have we, like, gone toe-to-toe in a race? Like, who's going to win this race? Not yet, and I hope we do soon.
Right.
That's what I've always wanted, just go out there and race, like, actually have a proper race against
race
them.
Actual race. That's cool.
So officially we raced against each other, but have we had, you know, a real solid run together? Not yet, sadly.
Right. Do you think if it came down to the wire?
I say dump him.
Would you dump him, or would you not dump him? Would you
I say
let
dump him
win?
I actually think about it, it's probably more he'd dump me. Than I'd dump him.
See, you got to get on it before he does.
We all know your dad. No, just kidding.
See, you got to get on it before he does.
Yeah.
Telling you would have done it to me,
yeah,
exactly. I just beat you to it.
If the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. No. Now, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I hope you guys get a chance to race neck and neck together. In the modifieds, you guys feel like you got a lot of work to do, or you think you're pretty close? You're obviously right there.
There are nights where, like the first night, you know, I was tracking down Doug Hamm. You know, he's been racing out there.
The guy.
For,
he's the guy to beat.
He's the guy to beat there out of any of the classes, you know, and I'm sitting here tracking him down. You know, you think, you know, the car's pretty good. You know, the car wasn't amazing, like wasn't perfect. You know, we still had some things to do to it. We're like, okay, we're getting somewhere now. And then this past race, just we were fighting the car all day, and then, you know, unfortunately we had that quick ending. But it's still we're learning with the car, but it's also me trying to learn how to drive the car and what to feel for, and it's still a big learning experience. But it's a learning experience while we're up front, and we're still up there, you know, being a presence for the championship.
Right. You know, one thing nice about the modifieds. Well, it's good and bad, I guess. You know, you're on the super stocks, you're a little limited to suspension changes and things like that. But the modified, you can pretty much tune yourself out of it or tune yourself into the race.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I mean, all we did was play with a Panhard bar, and we didn't like tune ourselves completely out and then tune ourselves back in. And then it's with the super stock. You know, we're always like, I mean, now we're not racing in the car. We're like, well, what if we do this with the car? What if we do that with the modified? It's just like, what if we put a turn in the Panhard bar, take it out? You know, and then it's also with, you know, not the lack of rules, but just the freedom you have with the modified and everything, you know.
Exactly.
There's more rules on the body than there are anything else, you know. And it makes it to where you can be a little bit more creative in both aspects. Just with the super stock, it's more, you have to be more, you have to fabricate more. It's just, it's more hard labor, while with this modified, it's more, you have to use your brain more, like, what if we put a turn in this jack and bolt, or take a turn out of there, or bump this tire up a couple pounds, you know?
Are you making a lot of those decisions to your dad and your uncle that, hey, I want to try this, or I want to do this?
Me and my uncle were always just like, well, what if we try this? Like, it'll change you here, but also change you here where we're good at. And, I mean, this past race, especially when the car was, you know, kind of garbage the entire day, just we're sitting there, and we're just trying to figure something out. We're both sitting there in lineup, where we're just like, we have no idea what this car's going to do. We don't know if it's going to be.
Just drive it, right?
It was like, we're both on, both hanging on for the ride. And it's just, we have no idea what it's going to do.
You know, that's part of the fun of, like, the modified, you know, type of race cars. You know, they're a different beast, and it's good to learn that part of it. And then it puts, I think, a lot more in the driver's hands, too, you know, to learn.
Especially with how much quicker the modified reacts. You know, I'm glad I got that chance for the super stock first. Just, you know, the super stock, I was able to drive it for a while. It reacts slower. But I also knew that it was going to, I knew how it was going to react and when it was, you know, I right. really got my seat time in that car. Then I hopped in the modified and everything happened so much quicker. Just right. on the lap times, you're only
change this and that, yeah.
Just on the lap time, you're only going second and a half right. faster. But when it comes to how fast things come towards you or how fast right. the car reacts, just, I don't remember how long it's been since I've actually looped the super stock when it was right. loose and then open comp last year, I looped the car. I looped the modified just because I just wasn't used to driving
just
the sideways
yet. Not ready
yet.
For it, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's a fun experience. So hopefully you can pull out a championship this year. And you're probably going for Rookie of the Year, too, I would assume, this year.
Last year we raced the modified, so I don't know if
we'll be eligible.
Last year
we
finished third in the modified, so I don't know if we'll still be eligible for...
Well, Gary... See how blind I am. I didn't know that.
I don't know if we're still eligible for Rookie of the Year,
okay.
but it's still just, we're still.
If you race more than, I think usually it's like if you race more than 50% of the races.
Oh, we missed all but one.
Oh,
yes, we raced
so
pretty much all
yeah.
of them.
Well, it's too bad. Hey, I know we're getting short on time, but before we get too far, you got any sponsors and things like anybody that you want to talk about, thank for helping me race? And
I mean, really, it's just a lot of family. Just on Facebook, you know, we're always it's my mom and Facebook lives every race, and you know, it's a lot of family from around the country. That's really just something a lot of family. You know, obviously my dad and my uncle,
sure.
just they're the reason why I'm in racing, and you know,
right.
we're the one, always ones out in the garage working on cars and just thinking of what we can do. My mom, my sister, grandma, and grandpa, they're always out there.
Cool.
Let's see. I have my Uncle Mikey out in Utah. He always comes on when he can. He's watched every single race
wow,
I've been on Facebook
cool.
Live. Yes. There's a lot of people that I have behind me, but it's a lot of friends, a lot of family, and then a lot of fans as well. I go out there, and
right.
I think I meet new people every time. Every
right.
time I actually get up to the stands, and it's just like, oh, yeah, they've been watching you race for, like, a couple of years now.
That's
and it's just
cool.
like... Well, thank you for watching, you know. This is a lot of people that, like, because I'm a lot younger, but
right.
I'm out there and I'm actually doing fairly well, because there's a lot of people who are interested in me, you know, and
yeah,
they kind of root for me up there. You know, to me, that means a lot.
Yeah.
Just you go out there, you know, I'm out there doing something I love, and there are people, you know, just watching something they
right.
love, and they, you know, pick me out to be the person that they root for. So it really
cool.
means a lot when I meet new fans and that kind of stuff.
Well, that, you know, that really is cool that, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of fans out there that will continue to come watch you as long as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about, you mentioned, you know, when you graduate, when you move, you're going to join the military.
Mm-hmm.
Do your parents know this?
Oh, yeah.
Should
yeah.
we keep it a secret? Okay.
Just know that we've known forever. Just like pretty much everybody.
What are you going to get into? Air Force, Army,
That's
Marines?
What I haven't figured out. You know, I have to go out and get recruiters. And they have it where you take what's called the ASVAB, which is
yep.
just an aptitude test.
See where,
and,
kind of where you place.
And
okay.
I, you know, I scored up in like the 90th percentile. So it was, I scored up high to where I can get pretty much any job that I want.
Cool.
It's just a matter
good.
Of what recruiters and seeing what kind of jobs they have available for
don't
me.
Don't listen to the first recruiter. Listen to them all.
Yeah.
Really, I suggest the Air Force, but that's just me. I'm a military brat. My you know, my family's been in the Air Force. So.
That's what my dad was saying. My dad was in Marine Corps, and he's still telling the Air Force, just it's so much nicer. It's,
he's like, Tessie, they're a bunch of wusses over there. He's a Marine, you know. Hey.
No, I tried telling him that I was going to go in the Marine Corps. He's just
cool.
like, why would you do something dumb like that when you're going to the Air Force? And have those, like,
right.
make it to where everything's a lot simpler on you, and you're not out running 20 miles and
yeah.
you know, sleeping in the mud. You know, you have barracks, and you have everything nice out in the Air Force, and you want to go into good branch you where you're running and sitting and sleeping in tents and everything like that.
Well, hey, that's just me because that's what I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody has their own experiences and differences. Is there a certain field that you're wanting to get into? You want to become
mm-hmm.
a pilot? Do you want to mm-hmm. become a mechanic? I mean,
yeah,
secret agent.
Something that like I've been kind of leaning towards right now is like trying to go and be a helicopter pilot. Right now,
oh, cool.
I go to right now I go to Rancho High School mm-hmm. and they have their aviation program there.
Oh, I did actually hear something about that, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't know how in depth they got into it. Really,
mm-hmm.
cool.
It's a pretty good program. Just like they get you prepared and everything like that. And if you want to go that extra step, they actually provide your senior year.
Are you in that program or?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I've been in that program. I'm a junior now, so
oh,
all 3 years.
Oh wow, cool. You get to go up in the helicopters and stuff already? Or
they do, like, just regularly, like, private pilots. So it'd
okay.
be, like, you fly up in Cessnas
yeah.
and that kind of stuff. Helicopters, they have, like, their own different field.
Wow, cool.
But if I was going to, like, do that kind of stuff, I'd go into the military because, you know, they go out and for all that kind of training and stuff, they pay you to do it. Instead of now, I'd have to pay out of pocket.
Wow. Can we be 16 again? Well, cool, man. Well, hopefully you get into that. If that's your passion, you know, that's cool. That's not... Man, there's a kid that's got it together, huh? Where are you guys racing at next? Or what's your next race at Vegas?
April 20th. I'll just be running the modified again.
Okay.
In the super stock week right now, we're kind of just moving in and out of the driveway. Justin is not in the way, but, you know, we're sitting there looking at it like, if it wasn't so expensive for tires and fuel, that kind of stuff, we drive it. We can run two modifieds, you know, for tires and fuel for the price we can for one super stock.
Right.
And, you know, it's a ton of fun, but when it comes down to, you know, what we want to focus on more, so we want to focus on the modified right now.
Right. And what's good about that division, of course, Bill down at Havasu, they have the same, you know.
I heard about that winter series they had where it was like three races up there and three races down here. We were going to do it. We were just in the middle of, you know, buying parts and just getting the car ready for this year. So,
hey, you know, you'll still be able to catch some races down there at some point, you know.
We hope to. You know, I like traveling. I love traveling and go to different places and just experience different racing, especially when I went to Havasu. I enjoy that. Traveling and going different, just experiencing different tracks and going down there and seeing the fast guys down there, seeing how they run. Just it's a whole different learning experience for guys that have, this is their home track, and you're just some out of town and it's coming in and trying to compete against them.
No, that's the fun part, going trying to beat the local guy.
Even when, you know, since RMR closed down and, you know, there are people from Utah trying to come down here, you know, I love it when people from out of town come because, you know, it's a new competition.
Right.
Exactly. They come out and they're pretty fast. Just it's someone you've never raced against before, you know. Doug Hamm, you know, Brian Reed, that kind of stuff. I raced against them before, so I kind of know how they're going to drive.
Sure.
But when you have a fast guy you never seen or never met before, you have no idea how they're going to drive. So it's kind of like in the middle of a race, you're trying to figure out how to get around someone, and you have no idea what their patterns are and everything.
Yeah.
It's definitely a thinking game when you have, you know, new drivers coming in, you know.
Sweet. Yeah, and then, you know, that's good that you brought that up because that is – a lot of other experienced, you know, drivers talk about that when new out of town, you know, guys come in, it brings a new element to the race because, like you said, they're unpredictable. You don't know what their driving style is. You know how a Doug Hamm's going to do. You know what the other local guys are going to do, but these guys from out of town, you don't. You know, they're unpredictable, and it helps bring another fun element to the the race. So, but. I don't know. You ever think about doing any, like, dirt racing or anything like that? I know we're running close.
You've been thinking
here.
About doing any truck racing?
You know, your driving style actually fits really good in a series like late model truck racing.
That's right.
You're consistent, smooth, and you bring a young element to, you know, to the series. Maybe something that you might want to think about. Talk to, you know, grandparents and the whole family. Talk to everybody. I'm taking donations
Mason
here to drive in the series. Now that's pretty cool. How about a skid plate?
I ever since they came out, I've always just they look like so much fun.
Yeah,
just going out there, especially the last race when they ran the track backwards.
I was gonna ask, did they end up doing that? I wasn't there, obviously, but
yes, that to me just looks like so much fun. I know, like, you know, I'm used to the higher speeds, and, you know, my dad racing, he was like, you're gonna hate these. You go so slow, you just keep spinning.
You're gonna hate these.
It was just like. I don't care. It's
fun. Yeah,
It just looks like so much fun, you know.
Right.
You don't want to loop in a normal race, but when you do, it's fun. But at the same time, you just realize you just lost everything you worked for.
Well,
now you're just laughing the entire time.
Exactly, because you're not the only one looping. You got five other guys out there looping too.
Yeah. I think Ronnie drove it once, and he came back and he had a smile ear to ear. It's just like there's. You're just spinning the entire time, but it's like you're laughing the entire time. You know, you look up at the scoreboard and you're not even close to fifth place.
You probably can't tell where you're at, right? Well, that's what that division's for. But you know, we're out of time. If somebody wants to get a hold of you and say hi or anything, what's the best way somebody can get a hold of you? And
on Facebook, just Mason Sargent. That's the biggest way to get a hold of me. Just if anybody has, like, any questions or they want to talk to me, just hit me up on Facebook. I'm always up to, like, talk to people, whatever, just if you guys want to know more about me or whatever else, just I'm open.
Cool. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. We could do a whole other show.
Yes, I'm going to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Johnny's Filatro next week.
Next week.
In the studio.
Yep. But thank you, Mason, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, and we'll see you live here next Tuesday at onwheelsnow.com at 6 p.m.
Thanks for coming in, Mason.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.